This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday Night Tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Chicago Bears Pro Bowl free safety Mark Carrier. Let me remind you about Mark's background. He's from Lake Charles, Louisiana, attended high school at Long Beach Polytech in Long Beach, California, where he was a three-year varsity starter. And named Parade All-American and USA Today All-American back in 1985, played his college ball at USC, where he became USC's first winner of the Jim Thorpe Award, which is presented annually to the nation's best defensive back. He was inducted into the USC Athletic Hall of Fame in 2006 and was named All-Pac-12 into their All-Pac-12 Century team. Fox Sports named Mark the seventh most dominant defender in USC history. He was a first-round draft pick, the sixth overall selection by the Chicago Bears in 1990, and actually picked one pick ahead of his USC teammate, Junior Seau. Mark played in the NFL from 1990 to 2000 for the Bears, Lions, and Redskins. He was named Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1990 when he led the league. As Bob mentioned at the top of the show, 10 interceptions that rookie season, also set a Bears franchise record. Named to three Pro Bowls in 1990, 91, and 93. And his 32 career interceptions has him tied with safeties that are in the Hall of Fame, guys like Kenny Easley and Troy Polamalu. And after his playing days, he's been a coach for Arizona State. He's been a coach with the Ravens, the Jets, and the Bengals. He's also co-hosted a show on Pac-12 Network, and he is currently the Associate Athletics Director at Loyola Academy. And we're very honored to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Mark, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Mark.
Oh, thank you for having me. Hello.
Mark, I want to start by getting your thoughts on your USC Trojans. I'm looking at a team that was 5-7 last year and 3-3 so far this year. Boy, that's a program that we got used to seeing at the top of the rankings. Curious to get your thoughts. What do you think has to happen there in order to get the Trojans back in playoff contention?
I think we have to find out who we are. I think a lot. I mean, you can say this coach, that coach, we need this or that. From my experience and my being around and just being and understanding why I went to SC and what the program has always been about is what's SC's identity right now? You guys, you gentlemen have been around football a long time. You know, back in the day when you talked about SC, you knew what you were getting. You knew what type of team you're going to get. You knew how physical it was going to be. Right now, we've kind of lost our identity. We don't, you know, the colors and that logo when you walk on the field doesn't change, doesn't intimidate people like it maybe used to years ago, or you knew you were going to be in the fight. Until we get back to that and get that in the mindset going, we're going to be maybe a 500-7-5 team at best until we get there.
And Mark, you know, when I look at the program, I mean, the first two seasons, you talk about, you know, this coach, that coach, boy, When Coach Clay Helton came in, you know, 10-3, 11-3, a berth in the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. Is USC starting to lose the, you know, sort of the recruiting cachet? Do you think it's an athlete thing, or do you really think it's just, you know, hey, we got to decide we're going to be a smash mouth team, or we got to decide we're going to be a throwing team, that sort of thing? Is it just a loss of identity, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the coaches or the players?
Boy, it always has. In college football, it has everything to do with players. You got to have talent. Nick Saban's not Nick Saban without some of the best players. And, you know, you look at the top teams every year in recruiting, where SC used to be in the mid and late 2000s compared to now. And you look at those teams who are always up there now. They're the teams who are the best teams. Yes, coaching has a big say-so in college sports, but a part of that is recruiting. It's getting the good athletes. Getting the big-time athletes, and what SC is not doing, what their lack of has been doing over the last couple of years, is they haven't got the in-state kids. Those in-state kids are going elsewhere. I mean, the two best players in last year in the state of California all went to Oregon. I mean, and then you got another kid going to Ohio State, another. I mean, it's one thing you got to fight for kids in recruiting, but you can't lose them to out-of-state. Other schools, you've got to win your in-state. When you've got a traditionally fruitful state like California, like Texas and Florida, you've got to keep them in-house. And when you can't do that, it goes down. So to answer your question, yeah, you got to get the top recruits, especially the ones in-state. And a lot has to do with the coach.
Mark, I want to get your thoughts on the Chicago Bears, and you look at a defense that is playing incredibly well. I think most of us are a little surprised that they lost to the Raiders, and they've got the Saints coming, you know, this week at home. Is this a team, do you think, can do enough offensively to make a run towards the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we were all, I was shocked too, living in, back in Chicago, the way they played against the Raiders, and some people more ended up, owning up to their, you know, their, they traveled late to London, the Raiders traveled early, whatever that be, you still got to show up and play. But I've said it, and I've said it before, I've said it on air here, even in Chicago, I thought part of the biggest problem was when they didn't play Mitch Trubisky in the preseason. I don't care if he hands it off 50 times. When you got a kid like that who came in with only, which I thought was a questionable pick, with only so many starts, and you baby him into the season and into getting reps, I think you're doing him a misjustice as far as his development. I don't say he won't be a good player, but you're not. I don't think you're helping him by sitting him as a young player who needs snaps, needs recognition, and now you're going forward here. I worked and did the game they played against Minnesota at Soldier Field, where they just absolutely dominated Minnesota. When you got a defense who can do that, they got a defense who can, you know, can play with anybody. But they're going to eventually, that offense and that quarterback is going to have to help them try to win games. And what I've seen is, especially going to the last year, it's a little gimmicky. And those gimmicks aren't working, and you're not getting, say, the extra turnovers that you might get on defense, now the offense has got to help you. You haven't seen that much of it, whether it's Trubisky or Daniels. And it's kind of funny when you talk about all these quarterbacks, the Mahomes, the Trubisky's, these other young quarterbacks in and around Danny Dimes, where everybody's talking about, you know, just getting these young quarterbacks and they want the offenses from, you know, to blend in with college a little bit so they could have a chance to be successful is right. But what do you hear everybody talking about? What teams are missing? What's Kansas City's missing? A run game. What's San Chicago Bears missing is a solid run game. How we devalue running backs over the years, but yet everybody's screaming about, boy, you need a good run game. You know, the quarterback up in Cleveland, their offensive line, they're missing their run game. And when you don't have it, now you miss it, and they figure, hey, well, we devalued it a few years ago. Now we all of a sudden it's coming back where these quarterbacks need a better run game. And talking about the Bears, I think they need to get their run game going.
Yeah, and let's just take that a step further, Mark. And I couldn't agree with you more. Like Bob and I have been talking about this for a long time. We don't feel like the recipe to being great has changed all that much over the years. It's having a great running game and being able to stop the run, or having a great defense. It seems like, you know, the Bears are counting on a little bit of that, but they need the run game piece to open stuff up for Mitch Trubisky. I mean, if I'm playing the Bears, I'm going to make Mitch Trubisky beat me. And I think if that's consistent across some of these teams that are lacking a running attack, I still think that old formula works. I mean, the rules have changed and all that sort of stuff, but I still think that same formula wins games and can win you a Super Bowl. And I wish teams would start to get back to that. I feel like we're starting to get there a little bit. Look at the 49ers, great defense. They run the ball really well. I don't know your thoughts. Can that still work in today's NFL?
Oh, it definitely always has a place for it, because it's also a mindset. To run the ball successfully, it's got to be a mindset. It's got to be a physicality, and it helps your offensive line. It helps your defense. It really obviously helps your quarterback. And I get it why a lot of teams have gone to these zone reads and these quarterbacks and guns. Well, because these young quarterbacks are coming in the league and they're drafted high, and you're trying to get them on the field. So you've got to get an offense to help that they're comfortable to have done in the past to get them on the field faster. I get that. But what happens in anything, in any sport, especially in the NFL, everything catches up with you. Everything, you know, teams start to figure it out. They start to figure out how to, you know, counter these games and these styles of offense. And now you've got to make adjustments. Well, now everybody's trying to adjust. Well, what's everybody missing now? Everybody's complaining about, well, no run game, lack of run game. Because I think we've talked about this in the past. These offensive linemen aren't as good as they used to be because everything's such shotgun, veer, zone reads. You're really not trying to block or sustain blocks. You just kind of get in way and let the ball get out quick out of the quarterback's hand. Well, now you're starting to see the lack of depth on the offensive line in some of these offenses because the the quarterbacks are struggling because you can't run the ball. They're, you know, everything's pass oriented, and now teams are catching up to it. And you can see how it's having overall effect on the teams that are, you know, that have these young quarterbacks that are looking to try to be good. When you talk about San Francisco, well, their whole defensive line are first round picks. They're a physical running team. They're one of the few teams that use a fullback now. So it's funny how things kind of circle back.
Bob, questions for Mark?
Hey, Mark, welcome back to the show. It's always great to have you. I took a look at your old high school this week, Long Beach Polytechnic, and I think we've mentioned this before, Mark, what kind of alumni came out of there? It's amazing that there's probably six guys in the league now that went there, including DeSean Jackson and Juju Smith-Schuster. And then, like yourself, there's guys like Tony Hill and Willie McGinnis, and I can keep going on, Stephon Page. It's just amazing the list of guys that came out. I just want to get your opinion on why was it such a hotbed for football, and is the alumni network there still really tight to this day?
It's still really tight, guys. We, you know, obviously, a lot of us, there's still a lot of guys in and around, living in and around the Long Beach area. We, you know, with social media, we're able to correspond with one another. And just at the time, it was, you know, that's where everybody was, you know, public school, and, you know, you're going to go public, you know, not many people was going to private schools. One, you couldn't afford it, and two, they weren't offering, you know, scholarships. So everybody was, you know, so the public school system was where everything was at now. And even Poly has kind of come back down quite a bit now because a lot of the teams in Southern Cal, a lot of the top teams are more the private school that survives the modern days. St. John Bosco, which has really come up over the last 5 years. You know, some of these private schools, and also a lot of people have moved out of the LA County area. They moved out to the suburbs. So you got the Corona del Sol, San Bernardino's area, you know, that type of deal. So, a lot, you know, it's where these schools were very prominent and dominant. A lot has changed because of the culture, the landscape has changed.
We mentioned earlier in the show, Mark, your remarkable year in 1990, your rookie year. 10 interceptions to lead the league. And I know while you were doing it, you're trying to prove yourself and you knew you belonged, et cetera, et cetera. But when that season was over, Mark, did you sit down and say, wow, that was some accomplishment and how am I going to duplicate this?
You know, I initially didn't. I was so tired. I slept for a couple of days straight after the season was over. And then too, I was enjoying, being a single man and living in Chicago and enjoying my fruits of labor in a great city. So I was having a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks into January, I get a call from my mom and said, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, what, mom? Just enjoying being my own man. She said, well, remember when you decided to come out of school, one of the rules was for me to sign off on it was that, hey, you were going to come back and finish up school. I was like, four classes away from graduating from college when I left. And she said, well, you know what? I already talked to your counselor. We've got you enrolled. You're already a week late. Get your ASS back here. So no sooner than I was trying to enjoy my fun, I was back in school, finishing up school, after my rookie season, I went back to finish up school, like I promised my mom.
Mark, just a couple more before we let you go. And in 2000, you finished up your career in Washington with the Redskins, and your final game, you had an interception against the Cardinals, Jake Plummer. It was their quarterback at that time. And, I was just curious. You went out on a high note, sort of a drop the mic sort of moment, but did you know going into that last game that that was going to be it?
No, I thought I would finish out with the Redskins. I knew I wasn't going to play much longer. I thought I was going to finish out with the Redskins. I got released, I think, in May, and I had a chance to go play with Green Bay, and excuse me, Detroit, that year, which it was ironic, was 9/11. I was actually on an airplane, 9/11, heading back from Detroit to Arizona. Well, actually, I got dropped off in Kansas City and made my way back to Arizona, and And after that long drive from Kenson's back, I just decided, you know what, I already had a couple kids. They were getting older. My wife was going to stay in Arizona, and because my son was getting ready to start school full time, and we didn't want to get him in and out of school. And body wise, mentally, I wasn't just feeling it as I thought. And I just said, well, it's time to be done. And so I was able to walk away and pretty much knock on wood in one piece.
Mark, I know earlier this year you joined Loyola Academy as an associate athletics director, and so let our listeners know all the things you're doing now.
Oh, it's been great. It's my chance to come back to Chicago, where it all started for me as a professional. And you know, my wife was born and raised here, so it was a great chance. She had followed me all around the United States, following my career, and this opportunity came, so it was a chance for me to come back and be more stationary, more permanent. My daughter's a senior playing soccer at the University of Illinois. They're playing Penn State right now. I think they're losing out 2-1. I heard my wife screaming and cussing in the background. But anyway, so I had a chance to get back here. My wife's parents are getting a little older, and it was a great opportunity. And I was kind of getting burnt out in the coaching ranks, and I just wanted to do something a little more steady, but yet I still want to be involved with kids and helpful. And this situation came up, and now I'm, you know, I go to work every day and I get to be part of a whole bunch of kids' lives and working with various athletes, you know, various coaches and athletes and parents and administrators. And just today I was finished up scheduling for soccer season and starting on softball. So I'm doing part of that. So it's been a great adjustment, a great change. I still get, you know, our John Holosek, our head football coach, who probably has the best, was voted in Maxi Prep the best high school football program in the last 10 years in the state of Illinois. So he allows me to come out and work with the players when I get a chance. And the players have been great. They gravitated to me and I get to help there. So, but the good thing is that I get to go home in a decent hour and have to stay late to watch film anymore. So I don't know if my wife liked that, but at least she's back home. So that makes good. So I'm really enjoying being around these kids and having an influence on them.
Mark, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you over social media.
I'm on Twitter at Mark Carrier. Mark Carrier at Mark Carrier 20 on Twitter, and then I'm also on Facebook now too. I've gone to social media on Facebook now. All these things I used to hate.
Wow.
That I didn't want no part of when I was a parent and a coach, and now as a administrator, that's all I do now. But that's how I was also able to connect with a lot of old teammates and friends, and it's been great.
Well, Mark, it's been great having you back as part of the show. It's always a good time for us to have you here and to hear more of your stories and get your insights. We hope we're privileged enough to catch up with you a little bit later on in the season.
No, thank you. I'm sorry for messing up the last time. I appreciate you guys giving me another chance to come on again.
No worries.
Anytime, Mark.
Take care, Mark. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
That's a great Mark Carrier. Bob, you talked about it up front, a tremendous rookie season, a guy that quarterbacks learn to stay away from, but tremendous athlete, had a really great career, and now an opportunity to do some things as an administrator. Guy's got a heck of a future ahead of him.
Yeah, and I think when you asked him about did he go out on his own terms, Chris, 11 years, and if you look at his past stats, he rarely missed any games, so he left really nothing on the table. Very, very incredibly gifted athlete. And of course, like you said, very cerebral guy too. We're an honor to have him on the show anytime he wants to come on.
Absolutely. And look forward to catching up with him a little bit later on this season. Want to talk more Bears, more USC, but a great guy. All right. We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to our 5-star picks of the week right on the other side of this real quick station break.